But thou hast kept the good wine until now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The good wine is the good wine of Jesus Christ. The good wine has been kept to now. Jesus Christ has now revealed himself to the world. Today, his first miracle, we see his manifestation of his divinity. It's a very appropriate time, of course, when you think about it, because it is the marriage feast. So, in a way, Jesus is sanctifying marriage, proclaiming that this is from God. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder, Jesus will say at another time. And this is the most beautiful thing in the world, my friends, because marriage is a type of union with God. Husband and wife love one another and become one flesh, just like Jesus became one flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And the Word was made flesh. God, divinity, and humanity joined together in a like marriage unity. And we have the marriage of Jesus and man, God the Son and Jesus Christ in man, and we have a marriage. And so we have a marriage of a husband and wife. And this, in a way, is also another similarity, the marriage of Jesus with the soul. We are all spouses of Jesus Christ. We are the soul that Jesus has come, and he has called us, as we see through the various passages today, from Libanus. Come from Libanus. He comes and calls the soul, his bride, the church. St. Paul will tell us this later on. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved his church and sacrificed himself for his church. And later in that same epistle to the Ephesians, St. Paul tells us that Jesus will bring us to his Father without spot or wrinkle as his bride. And this is what we're going to be doing, preparing ourselves to become the brides of Christ in eternity, because that's what we'll be, united with Christ, united with God for all eternity. My dear friends, this is a great mystery, and who can understand it? Who can understand the union of the soul with Jesus Christ? He says in another place, if you love me, you keep my commandments, and my Father will love you, and we will come to you and abide with you. This abiding within the soul is the love of God, which is sanctifying grace in the soul. So we who are in the state of grace, Jesus abides with us, we are his spouse, and sanctifying grace is another type of marriage, the marriage of Jesus in our souls, even here on earth, to be fulfilled when we are presented to God the Father by Jesus as his beloved bride. He will present us to the Father without spot or wrinkle. My dear friends, these are great, great mysteries. And we should be thinking about it, because we have been given a great, great promise that God will bring us to heaven for all eternity as his beloved spouse. And this is what today's readings is all about. And again, our dear friend, I call him our dear friend, Don Prosper Garanger, the great liturgist of the 19th century, the servant of God, gives us in his Liturgical Year, Volume 3, about the teachings of this wonderful readings today. And he says, quote, "The third mystery of the Epiphany shows us the completion of the merciful designs of God upon the world. At the same time that it manifests to us for the third time, the first time to the shepherds and the magi at the stable, the second time to the Jewish people at the baptism of St. John the Baptist, and the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The star had led the soul to faith. The sanctified waters of the Jordan have conferred purity on her. The marriage feast unites her to her God. We have been considering during the octave the bridegroom revealing himself to the spouse. We have heard him calling her to come to him from the heights of Libanus. And now, after having enlightened and purified her, he invites her to the heavenly feast where she is to receive the wine of divine love. I think you can see there the three luminous mysteries of the rosary, right? Certainly the manifestation here at Cana, and of course the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan by John, all manifestations of the divinity of Christ. The new wine of charity. Quote John again, Don Prosper Garanger, continuing, a feast is prepared in Cana of Galilee. It is the marriage feast, and the mother of Jesus is present at it. For it is just that, having cooperated in the mystery of the incarnation of the Word, she should take part in all that her Son does and in all the favors he bestows on his elect. That's a nice little passage, and of course that's all what Our Lady is calling her the co-redemptrix. She is always united with her Son. As she brought him forth into the world, and as she here is at Cana, she is united with him, so she will be united with him at the cross, offering him up to the Father. And so she is at every Mass, united with the priest, helping the priest to offer up this sacrifice to the Father, to accept the sacrifice of Jesus in the unbloody manner of every Mass that he offers on the cross. Quote, continuing Don Garanger, but in the midst of the feast, the wine fails. Wine is the symbol of charity or love, and charity had failed on the earth, for the Gentiles had never tasted the sweetness. That's interesting, huh? The Gentiles had never tasted the sweetness of charity. And now Jesus is at Cana, and the wine fails, symbolic wine, the wine of charity. The world has grown cold, right? So the Gentiles had never tasted the sweetness of charity. And as to the synagogue, the Jews, what had it produced but wild grapes? What do you see, the symbol of wild grapes? Isaiah talks about that. They don't have charity. And of course, that's why they crucified Christ. Crucify him, crucify him, right? The true vine is our Jesus, and he calls himself by that name. I am the vine, you are the branches. He alone could give that wine that which gladdened the heart of man, Psalm 53:15. He alone could give us the chalice which inebriated, Psalm 22:5, and which the royal psalmist prophesied. So Jesus alone could give us this wine, my friends. How blessed we are. Do whatever he shall tell you, Our Lady tells Jesus. Continuing Don Garanger, Mary said to Jesus, they have no wine. It is the office of the Mother of God to tell him of the wants of men, for she is also their mother. Don't ever forget that, my friends. Mary is the mother of Jesus, the divine mother, but she's also the spiritual mother of all of us. And she tells Jesus, they have no wine. When we have no wine, we have no charity. She intercedes for us to get us the graces we need. Quote again, Don Garanger, but Jesus answers her in words which are apparently harsh. Woman, what is that to me and to thee? My hour is not yet come. The meaning of these words is that in this great mystery, he was about to act not as the Son of Mary, but as the Son of God. And we should realize that the hour, of course, when Jesus begins the hour, this is the hour when he will begin his public ministry. And he's telling Mary, not is the time, but she urges him, of course, they have no wine. So there we have the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, proclaiming himself to be the Son of God with this miracle. And as we'll see later on, the apostles believed in him. This, my friends, is a great miracle. A great miracle, changing water into wine. Only God can do it. Later on, Dom Garanger is going to tell us that this miracle, of course, God does every year. When you think about it, think about our world. And where, how do we get wine? Well, the rain falls, the vines take the water from the rain, and they produce the grapes which give us the wine. So every year Jesus performs this miracle. Think about this the next time you have a nice glass of wine and tastes so good and realize that this is a miracle. This was water. It's been changed to wine by God. God did it through nature. God gave us this beautiful world, which we have, and so many people love it so much they want to stay here forever. No, sir, my friends, not us. We want the true wine, the wine of Christ, for all eternity. Remember what St. Paul says, what God has prepared for man. No man has not seen, he heard, nor even can imagine what God has given us. If he's given us wine which delights us, what must be the pleasures of paradise? What are the delights of God himself? If in nature he gives us wine that's so delicious, what is God? Think about that, my friends, and pray and sacrifice for souls, because so many people don't even have a clue, as we see here, don't have a clue of what's going on in this world. They don't have the sweetness of charity that God alone can give. The meaning of this words is that the great mystery he was about to do as the Son of Mary, he was going to do as the Son of God. Later on, the hour will come when, dying upon the cross, he will do a work in the presence of his mother, and he will do it as man, that is, according to the human nature which he has received from her. And we think about that when we look at the crucifix. That's Jesus Christ. He's God, of course, but he's suffering as man, as no man has ever suffered, nailed to a cross. Right? They have pierced my hands and my feet. They have numbered all my bones. What does numbering all my bones mean? They have beat every bone on his body with a club or a whip or whatever, who knows what. And blood has oozed from every part of his body. My dear friends, this is what God does for us. This is why we need to meditate on the sorrowful mysteries. Because Jesus is doing this in the presence of his mother on the cross. Mary at once understands the words of her son. And she says to the waiters in the feast what she says now, ever saying to her children, do whatever he says to you. That's what Our Lady says to us, my friends. The new wine of Christ. Now there were six, again, Garanger tells us, there were six large water pots of stone there, and they were empty. The world was then in its sixth age, as St. Augustine and other holy doctors tell us. During these six ages, the earth had been awaiting the Savior who was to instruct and redeem it. Jesus commands these water pots to be filled with water, and yet water does not suit the feast of the spouse. The figures and the prophecies of the ancient world were this water, and until the opening of the seventh age, when Christ, who is divine, was to be given to the world, no man had ever contracted an alliance with the divine word. But when the Emmanuel came, God with us, he but to say, now draw out, and the water pots were soon to be filled, and the wine of the new covenant, the wine which had been kept into the end, when he assumed our human nature, a nature weak and unstable as water, he effected a change in it. He raised it up even to himself by making it partakers of his divine nature. This is what we were talking about before. We are all partakers of the divine nature as the spouse of Jesus Christ. Right? He gave us the power to love him, to be united to him, to form that one body of which he is the head, that church of which he is the spouse, and which he loved from all eternity, and with such tender love that he came down from heaven to celebrate his nuptials with her. My dear friends, Jesus is celebrating his nuptials with us. So when you think about that, when you look at our church now in shambles, in a great crisis, falling apart because we have become impure and sinful. This is why Our Lady came to Fatima. She wants to correct all this, to pure, get our church pure again, and it will be. God will not let this world go on as it is going on. This is why I tell you every week to wake up. Wake up to the Fatima message. Wake up to the rosary. Wake up to what God is going to do to our world. He's going to remake this world. He cannot have his spouses be impure the way they are now. And this is why we need to pray with all our might for our brothers and our sisters. Right? Jesus manifests his glory as God. St. Matthew, the evangelist of the humanity of our Lord, has received from the Holy Ghost a commission to announce to us the mystery of faith by the star. St. Luke, the evangelist of Jesus' priesthood, has been selected by the same Holy Spirit to instruct us in the mystery of the baptism in the Jordan. But the mystery of the marriage feast was to be revealed to us by the evangelist John. Beloved disciple, he suggests to the church the object of this third mystery by his expression, "The beginning of the miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory being his power as God," as with the miracle. "At Bethlehem, the God of the Magi expressed the divinity of the babe. At the Jordan, the descent of the Holy Ghost and the voice of the Eternal Father proclaimed Jesus, known to the people as the carpenter of Nazareth, to be the Son of God. At Cana, it is Jesus himself that acts, and he acts as God. For as St. Augustine says, he who changed the water into wine in the water pots could be no other than the same who every year works the same miracle in the vine. Hence it was that from that day, as St. John tells us, his disciples believed in him, and the apostolic college began to be formed." End quote, Dom Guérinier. The good wine of Christ and his bride, the church. The Lord delights in performing this miracle. God has saved the good wine for the last, but thou hast kept the good wine till last. The new wine of Jesus is charity. St. Paul tells us, shows us this, the superabundant gifts of the Spirit which came to the New Testament with the charismatic gifts in the practice of fraternal charity. It is the new wine, the new blessing of the church on holy matrimony, in which the love which husband and wife have for each other is similar to the love that Christ has for his church. Quotes St. Paul, Ephesians 3:25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and delivered himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, cleansing her in the bath of water," of course, which is baptism, "by means of the word, in order that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she might be holy and without blemish." Where is he going to present himself? Of course, that's going to be to the Father at the end of the world, at the end of our life. St. Paul also speaks of this love which we need to have for one another in the epistle today. "Let love be without pretense. Hate what is evil. Hold to what is good. Love one another with fraternal charity, anticipating one another with honor. Be patient in tribulation, persevering in prayer. Share the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of one mind towards one another." Romans 12. The divine charity, our espousal to Christ. Finally, dear friends, thank you for listening. Don Guérinier comments on the spiritual meaning of today's gospel, Jesus' miracle of changing water to wine. "Thus, divine charity, which dwells in the sacrament of love, the Holy Eucharist, is communicated to us that we might not be unworthy of the espousals with himself, to which he called us, he raises us up even to himself. Let us therefore, preparing our souls for this wonderful union, and according to the advice of the apostle, let us labor to present our souls to our Jesus with such purity as to resemble the chaste virgin who was presented to the spotless Lamb, as we just saw in Ephesians. Dame Guéringer, Jesus not only manifests himself with the miracle of changing water into wine at Cana, but he shows us that we are called to be his spouse in the heavenly marriage feast. My dear friends, this particular homily that I've given, a little long today, I think hopefully it was worth it. If you'd like to read it again, it's on our blog, St. Mary's Gosport. The blog, we have the Latin Mass and the Novus Ordo Mass blogs every week. So you can read this on the blog in St. Mary's Gosport in our website. So read it again. It's well worth a second reading. It is absolutely beautiful. We have to thank our dear friend, Don Prosper Guéringer, who always celebrates these great mysteries with such wonder that makes us want to realize them in our lives. So let us pray our Holy Rosary, especially the luminous mysteries that manifest the great miracles of Christ, and also remind us of our espousal with Jesus Christ, which is something that Our Lady wants us to fulfill. That's why she came to Fatima to help us to save souls. Pray and sacrifice, she says. Pray the rosary, for many souls will go to hell, for no one prays and sacrifices for them. So make sure you pray and sacrifice for your loved ones, your family, your friends. Pray for everybody, because our world, as we've just seen, has need of the new wine of charity. We are in a hopeless state, and only God can deliver us. May the Lord bless you.